Blog Talk Radio.
Or not. Having a little bit of audio problems for about the 87th time in our illustrious career. Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. Seth Kim and Sean Palmer. It's a bit of an NBA show tonight, as you can imagine. Am I echoing?
You're good.
Okay. So, I mean, with the obvious, you know, we can talk a little bit of soccer maybe, but obviously we're starting off with the NBA Finals. We'll talk a little bit about LeBron's place in history, which I'm now admitted in kind of a quandary on, as Sean can attest to. And we're also going to talk about the gift that I'm just going to open actually with the gift that my wife was going to get you for your 40th. Because, well, we're 2 months late.
Wait, your wife is going to get me, or it has gotten?
No, I got you the other gifts. Sean is, most of you know, Sean's my best friend, in addition to co-radio host, and we had a 40th birthday a couple months ago. He got his gift on time. Typically, mine was about 6 weeks late. So I got him a framed Super Bowl III program. And Carly wanted to get you a Mr. Met uniform.
For what purpose?
I have absolutely no idea.
When would I wear that?
I have absolutely no idea.
How big was this thing? How much did it cost?
About $150 to $200.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's surprisingly cheap.
As we also almost got you just the Mr. Met head. But once again,
the head would have been awesome, but I would have nothing to do with it.
That was the whole point. And the idea of Sean, you know, bringing back a woman to his apartment, you know, wooing, seducing, all that jazz, and you just see this Mr. Met head in the corner of the bedroom.
That's called bachelor pad, my friend.
That's called singlehood for life. So we decided against that. But
I really don't know what I'd do with it. I think I might just give it to my niece and nephew and say, here, they have a basement.
I have no idea. But I thought it was a very funny idea, but I couldn't go through with it. So we went in another direction.
I thank you for that, because she did a much better job on what she got me. So I really do appreciate the gifts. They look awesome, and they are currently residing in the two corners of my apartment where every woman might see them.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's okay, because they're picture frames.
You also have – I'm looking around here. We're shooting this one from Sean's apartment. There are three pictures. Now, there's two things. Two of them – all three of them were given to him by me.
Agreed.
And there is nothing else hanging here.
There's nothing hanging.
Sean, you've lived here for 4 years.
No, two.
Only 2 years?
2 years. Two and a half. I lived at 350 West 50th for 2 years.
That's right. I forgot about that.
There was another apartment. I've only been here for 2 years. And meanwhile, we are sipping on very good tequila tonight. So if we do either wander off, or we slip, or we say something we shouldn't have, just bear with us. But anyway.
Good. I have a wife due in 3 weeks. I'm allowed to drink a little bit of tequila.
So let's talk about the game last. First of all, I'm sorry. You're in your quandary. I want to kick this off first. Is LeBron in the running for best player ever at this point, based on what he just did? Because that was not a good series,
but
as far as style, by anybody, including LeBron, because he had some massive turnover games. But he led the team and led the series in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and field goal percentage, which has never been done before.
I think in steals also. It does. For those of you who have been listening to the show over the years, we've now been hosting it. Man, we've been hosting it, I guess, since he left for Miami. We've been hosting it 6 years? We've gone longer than most network TV shows. Why is there music playing in the background?
That was supposed to be our hosting show, but it didn't come out
what
yet.
What the hell was that?
Ding!
Okay. So the issue being that I absolutely, along with most of the sports fans of the world, crushed LeBron when he went to Miami. And probably, I now have to kind of look back to see when we started doing the radio show. But the premise I've always stuck with was once he went over to play in Miami and joined his biggest rival, I could never rate him. I could never put him at the top, at the upper echelon. And I kind of took a step. I hedged on that when he came back to Cleveland 2 years ago. And now I'm stuck in this interesting place of I don't think I've ever seen – there's never been a player like him. And I can never probably – I don't think I can ever put him as number one based on what he did. I don't think I can do that. But I was talking about this yesterday, and right now in my head I have him number four overall, which I think is extraordinarily high. And I don't think he can jump much higher. I see Sean.
Okay, well, okay, we have not had the show since LeBron left, because LeBron left when I was on my way to Dewey Beach, and that, oh, no, I was in Boston. So I think we started doing the show when I moved to New York.
Which was 11.
4 years ago.
Okay.
Which is 2011. So
that would make more
LeBron
sense.
Left a year before that. In 2010, June 2010, LeBron
okay.
left. So I actually know where I was. So that's why I'm saying this. So I think we've done this for 5 years, maybe four and a half. I think maybe when I first moved here, we weren't doing this. And then I think it was maybe December or November of that year. That
January of 12, we officially became the Seth and Sean's.
Okay,
show,
so that's 4 years,
yeah.
Four and a half years. So anyway, so there's no way he can jump Russell in your mind.
Can't jump Russell. I don't think he can jump Jabbar, and I don't think he can jump Jordan.
Okay, but let's understand. Your concept of, okay, why can he not jump Jabbar? I understand Russell, okay, and I understand Jordan. Your concept that he can never be number one is because he went to a team with great players and won championships. There was no better team than the Lakers. And he went to the Lakers. Granted, he was the first one there. But he still won championships with that team. And if you want to take his championship in 1970, when he won it with the Bucks,
it's comparable
what?
To this
you
one.
Got LeBron last night.
Well, look, I've moved him to number four. I don't think it's not
you had him four. You've been on four or five for the last year.
No, I think I've had him lower than that. But
nope.
Have I had him?
You've had him in the top five.
Okay. Well, I guess, first of all, he was the first one to come over to Los Angeles. Number two, he did not join his biggest rival in Los Angeles.
He didn't have a rival.
He didn't join the best center in the NBA.
No. I get that. But
there's a certain –
Your whole concept is based on his thought process?
He went to play. He was in that point. And again, his game is transition. He was the best – 2-3 in the NBA when
yep.
he joined the Heat.
Yep.
Who had the second best 2-3 in the league? It's
Kobe.
Fine.
Yeah, I understand.
Whether it's at that point, it was probably Wade, actually. But, you know, you can argue that either way.
Okay.
You know, Wade's a top 30 player all time.
I get what you're getting at here.
At a certain point, he can't look. He was rewarded by winning his championship.
As the best player on those teams.
Yes.
By far.
But the premise was he joined his biggest rival, quote-unquote.
Okay.
And there has to be a certain point where there has to be – where you can't – I can never put my – and you know this. I've never been able to put my head around this. This is to that degree. To joining your biggest rival, to me, is an easy way to win, quote-unquote, win a championship.
And then he left.
And he did. But
and he won with – okay, he had good support last
year.
Yeah,
people telling me – you know, I'm sick of it. He was phenomenal in this
He
year.
Carried the team.
Kyrie Irving was unbelievable.
Agreed.
In this
and I said that the entire series. I thought Kyrie was balling. And I don't say that about many players. He was straight balling last night. And for the entire series.
Yeah.
Look, LeBron didn't hit that three at the end.
No, LeBron.
Kyrie hit that three at the end. So – and the best – Eric Rosenthal, who actually broke the NCAA bracket online, had one of the greatest lines on Twitter I've seen last night. If LeBron had hit that jam at the end, that would have been the end of Space Jam 2. Because he was that high. He was skying. So,
that, does that go down as – I wonder where that goes down in the pantheon of the greatest plays of all time. The block
what,
on Iguodala. You're talking on the – are you talking
oh,
on the
no,
slam?
I'm talking about the slam dunk
okay.
and miss.
I was talking on the block of Iguodala. The slam we had was ridiculous. But, you know, to beat a 73 team now, albeit Golden State was absolutely terrible in the series. Terrible. That was
terrible.
Terrible. The Oklahoma series took everything out of that team. That was not Stephen Curry that played in the series.
Well, I mean, you look at it now and you ask yourself, is Stephen Curry hurt?
I think he is.
Will he undergo surgery? I mean, he's already backed out
of the,
he's already backed out of the Olympics.
Yeah, but regardless.
Well, no, because injuries do take their toll, right? I mean, if Andrew Bogut plays last night, Festus Ezeli doesn't.
Doesn't take four shots in the first minute of the game? Yeah.
Anderson Varejao doesn't see the court.
Right.
If Andrew Bogut's playing. So, I mean, injuries definitely take their toll, and that's not an excuse, because if that's an excuse, then you give it to the Cavs last year,
right?
I mean, with Kevin Love. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. I think this series was a coming-out party for both Kyrie Irving, who really showed what he can do, because I think he's been one of the more underrated players because he plays with LeBron. And Tristan Thompson, we make fun of him. We do, because he would not have gotten the contract that he got last year if not for LeBron. But let me ask you this. If he comes out this year with those stats, he gets that contract. He gets more.
No, he doesn't.
With the cap going the way well, the
no,
cap is
going?
He gets
this contract because of the cap going to where it is. He doesn't go bigger.
So he's actually he's underpaid.
I find it – well, I think that's just – I don't think
– 10 and 10. That's what he did.
And that's to you that warrants $16 million a year?
That's what the NBA is paying.
I'm asking what he warrants. I'm not asking what he –
what
he does earn.
Jordan want? What does LeBron James want?
Because
he's making 22.
Right.
So what does he want? So let's put this on a scale, right? Because that
okay.
means that the better players have to warrant more.
Well,
if the lesser players
LeBron,
are warranting less.
LeBron, I believe, can sign next year for $30
million. Yeah. And so can Kevin Durant next year.
Right.
So if Kevin Durant and LeBron are worth 30, I think Tristan's worth half of that.
Barely. I don't.
I'm just saying.
I know.
He's a nice
player.
The average NBA salary, is about $6 million a year.
And you think he's 2.5 times worth the average salary?
I think he's 26 years old, has more to his game, and can defend every position on the
he's
court.
He's a nice player.
There is no other player except – is Draymond Green worth more than that? Is he worth $15 million?
Is Draymond Green worth more than Tristan Thompson?
No,
absolutely.
Just answer my question. What does Draymond Green, and I'm not challenging, what does Draymond Green, this is a question, bring to the table that Tristan doesn't? And there is an answer to that, so
okay.
I know it.
Obviously, three-point shooting.
Agreed.
Better passer.
Okay.
Both are very good defenders. Both are very good rebounders. Draymond Green has just a much better all-around game.
I'm not sure that's true.
You think
I think
it's
he's a better passer. He's definitely a better three-point shooter.
Better ball handler. Draymond Green brings up the ball, for God's
agreed.
Sakes.
Agreed. So Draymond Green earns 21. Tristan Thompson's worth 15?
No.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, in today's NBA, I think that's exactly what he's earned.
Oh.
Maybe 12. Maybe he's overpaid by 3.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
To me, he's a 10 to 12. I mean, and I gag even saying that. He's a 10 to $12 million player.
Okay.
He's a nice player. He's a complimentary nice player. He's the fourth best player on a championship team.
Who could be the third, if not the second?
Well, we're
going to
find out if Cleveland trades Kevin Love over the summer.
Which I'm not sure they will anymore. But
I think he's going to want out.
Well,
we'll
if he's going to want out, we'll see Thursday night with the draft, because that's the best time for him to get traded.
I agree.
And that's a great segue to our draft, which we now have 45 minutes to finish. So
well, wait a minute before we even get to that, what are your? No, I kind of went off on. Where I have LeBron, where do you have him?
I've always said that by the end of his career, LeBron will be number one. He may not be there now. He doesn't have the longevity that Jordan does. By the end of his career, he will. and he'll be better.
As I said, outside of my argument of where of the issue I have with him, I can certainly understand it. He's a better scoring Magic.
Yes.
I mean,
and
that's what he is.
It's interesting because I did tweet last night in the beginning of the game.
On Seth and Sean Sports Radio.
No,
oh,
on my own.
Sean Palmer's Twitter.
SU Lawyer 2001, he needed to be less like Magic and more like Michael. Because in the beginning of the game, he was looking to involve everybody.
Right.
And he was making stupid passes. And while we talk about play of the game, probably LeBron's block of Iguodala.
Which was unworldly.
Unworldly. Can we once again say how stupid J.R. Smith is? Because why are you throwing an alley-oop in that situation? That was a four-point swing when you could have been up six, and instead you're down two. It was awful.
If I'm going to talk about the genius of J.R. Smith, I might as well also talk about, I don't know, the stupidity of Stephen Hawking.
No, I was watching the game. And J.R. played a very good second half. Right?
A couple big shots, a couple big threes.
Especially start the quarter. He had 8 points in the first 2 minutes.
Right.
I mean, he was hitting everything. And you're saying finally. He's finally playing a game where he can play well. He's playing second fiddle. He's not playing stupid. And then he tries to go above his head for an alley-oop, and it just gets swatted away. And
by Stephen Curry.
Right. And you're kind of like, what the hell? Anyway, all right, we should move on to the mock, though, because if we don't get there, we're not going to get done. So, can we agree on the first two guys?
Simmons and Ingram.
Simmons and Ingram. Back-to-back, no questions, right? And I don't think there's any question on any draft board, quite frankly. I think that is where most players will go, prognosticators will go, and I think that's actually where that will happen. So we're going to say Simmons for both and Ingram for both. And again, how we play this game is you get 5 points for if you hit it spot on, and you get 4-3-2-1 going down the
line.
And
we are coming off of our worst draft in the history of Seth and Sean.
Agreed.
And the NFL draft in April, where we were both absolutely disgusting. So we're
and
hoping
even
to
worse, we do not pick the NHL draft because neither one of us knows.
Austin Matthews goes
players.
Number one. That's all
that's
I really
it.
Know.
Okay, so I'm going to go number. I'm going to pick first for number three.
Okay.
I think the Celtics need somebody that has high upside. I think they are kind of fed up with the Marcus Smarts, where you know what you're getting. You're only getting a limited amount of what you're getting, a low ceiling, but a very high floor. I think if they're going to shoot for the hip and they have to shoot high, this is the Nets pick. The next year, they also have the swap of the Nets pick. That Paul Pierce trade is working wonders for the Nets. I'm picking out of Cal, they're going for a forward, Jaylen Brown.
Brown is a solid prospect. I'm not as big on him out of what I've seen of him as other people seem to be. The Celtics do seem to like him. I don't think he even has the highest upside. I think the highest upside would go to Chris from Washington or Dragon Bender. But I'm going a different position. I'm going two guard.
Jamal Murray.
I'm going Jamal Murray, who I think – could end up being the best player in this draft. I think he is an absolute stud. And he has more maturity to him. You know, he only played 1 year in Kentucky than a lot of these other guys. Simmons, you know, that's the big hit on it. Simmons is no one really knows what his love for the game is. No one really knows his maturity. He was on a horrendous LSU team. I do like Jamal Murray at three.
Well, I'll tell you, you agree with John Calipari. He thinks he should have gone number one, should have been number one.
Okay,
for the Phoenix Suns, who are the run-and-gun team.
I'm going athleticism.
As am I.
And it's a guy who, admittedly, I did not watch. Now, as most of you know, I am a pretty big college basketball team fan.
No.
I know, shocking. But this was a little bit – it's always difficult to watch the West Coast games and to see – and this is a team, I don't even remember if they made the tournament this year. You already know. I guess you already know where I'm going based on you nodding your head. But I have never seen a draft stock rise like this. And it seems to be, you know, he's an athletic 3-4 swing. I'm going the freshman from Washington, Marquise Chris.
As am I. This is the highest upside. Right here is the highest upside in the draft. This guy is a hit or miss. There's really no middle ground. I think that the Celtics were going to either go for one of these two guys. Again, I think these are the two highest upsides in the draft. And if you're the Celtics, you're looking for a superstar in this draft. You're not looking for an average player. You're not looking for a Buddy Hield, who you know will be a solid starter, or you hope that will be a solid starter, but has no upside to be a superstar. So, now granted, we're saying that coming off a double MVP by Stephen Curry, who probably had the same makeup when he was coming out, that he had a very low upside but very low floor. And by floor, we mean the lowest that they probably will go as far as value. Okay, Minnesota. I think Minnesota gets exactly who they want. I think Minnesota gets exactly who they need. They need a mature point guard. And I think they're ready to get rid of the Ricky Rubio experiment, and they're going for Kristaps.
It makes sense. Rubio is a nice player. I don't think they go in that direction. You know, I mean, Dunn has been there for 4 years. You kind of know what you're getting. I don't love Dunn. I really don't.
I love his defensiveness.
Yeah,
I love
his defensive. Absolutely.
He's the opposite of Rick Rubio.
Right.
The exact opposite of Ricky Rubio. And I think that's what they need on that team. Not a guy that will turn the ball over. A guy that will actually play solid.
Yeah. Now, I'll be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade the pick.
Oh, no, any of these picks could be traded. And I think at the top, I think you're going to see, I think the Celtics want to trade.
Yes,
I think Minnesota wants to trade. I think the Nuggets want to trade. I think the Kings want to trade. I think all these guys want to trade. And I think nobody wants to trade for these guys.
Well, that's the whole point.
Nobody wants to give a solid player.
The Celtics need a superstar, as we said. And with no superstar at three, I don't know who you'd give up if you're in the South. I don't know who's out there for you to get. You know,
Kevin Love.
It's an obvious. The Celtics are not going to trade the third pick for Kevin Love at this point.
Oh, yes, they would.
I don't think so.
Oh, I think they wouldn't. I think they'd give up the three and another pick for Kevin Love and maybe somebody else.
I don't think so.
And I think they'd do the same for Jimmy Butler.
I think they would for Jimmy Butler. I think Minnesota with Thibodeau goes after Butler. I think that's a logical place.
Right, but if you can give up the 3 and the 16 as opposed to the 5.
Well, of course you do it. I just don't – at this point, I don't know how much luster is off Kevin Love.
Yeah, see, I don't think that there is. I think last night proved that he could play in what he does. And the Celtics – look, the Celtics need a guy, and they've wanted Love for a while. Remember, they still have the pick next year.
Right.
They have that sweetener anytime they want it. So they could easily just trade 16 and the pick next year instead of the pick this year.
Because
the Nets are
probably not going to be much better than three.
Although the draft next year is supposedly much better than the draft this year. So let's just keep that
in mind. Well, we'll see. You know, it's a huge freshman class coming in with Josh Jenks.
And Harry Giles.
Harry Giles.
So – who are you going for Minnesota? Because we're at 35 minutes left.
Oh, we got time. Okay. I don't go guard. You have the stud center at 5 in Towns. You have the stud the 3 in Wiggins. You need to stretch 4. And, yes, I can count 3,
Bender?
4, 5. We're going Bender. We're going to Jew. Or I think he played. He's in Croatia right now. I think he's playing a Maccabi Tel Aviv. I know we don't have any 6'10" guys, but I think they need a stretch 4, and I kind of like that idea.
I just don't think it'll work. I think he's too raw, and I think they're looking for a little bit more stability. But you know what? They're a young team. This is a really young team.
And it's going to be 2 years from now. This is a very dangerous team.
Yes. Well, and you hope that they have to hope that the Spurs come down. That's about the time that the Warriors kind of settle back.
Right. Well, we're not even saying 2 years from being a champion, but two years from being pertinent and relevant.
Okay, Pelicans. So go ahead, Mr. Pelican.
You just called me Mr. Pelican.
I did.
I don't really know what to make out of that. So I think I don't. It's a strange team.
He's going to be breathing heavy for every pick.
I am. I don't have a great feel on this draft. I think they go for best player outside of power forward, obviously. I think the best fit for them is Buddy Hield, but I don't think they go there. I think they end up picking Dunn, and they play Dunn and Holiday together, and eventually let Holiday go.
Well, I think that they definitely go for a shooter. I have Dunn off the board, and because of that, I think they replace Eric Gordon
with Jamal Murray,
who also could not play a lick of defense.
No,
with Jamal Murray, who cannot play a lick of defense, but who is a, you know what? Eric Gordon was a tremendous player before his knee injury.
Yep.
Tremendous player. Unfortunately, he had really, really bad knees. And for somebody that has really bad knees, it kind of it's time to see.
And I will drink to your pain.
There you go. Well, you know, I should drink to my pain because then the pain will go away.
There you go.
All right. So I am picking Jamal Murray. Okay, so here we go with the Nuggets. The Nuggets don't need anything.
No.
They have a very good team.
For a team that was, 35-47?
Right, but they have a good team at every position.
Yeah.
A good team. They, like the Celtics, need a superstar. There is no superstar on that team. I think they go for Bender and take a Hail Mary full of grace and try and get that superstar, and they can be patient with him while on all these other teams, especially Minnesota, cannot. Minnesota needs to play him if he goes there. So I think that they take Bender and they live with a little bit of mediocrity next year. Now, the one problem I do see is that they're going to see this and go, oh, we got another Tiska.
Tiskavili?
Tiskavili and say, oh, we can't do a Tiskavili.
Well, they also got Nikola. Remember, they got Josic as
well.
Well,
that's what
I'm going Croatia, going foreign. Again, I agree with you. The Nuggets have no definitive need. They took Moutet in the first round last year. They took Gary Harris 2 years ago. They have Chandler and Gallinari and Fareed.
Ladies and gentlemen, wait for it. The big sigh.
I think they go best player available. I agree with your highest ceiling. I agree with your thought process. I go Jaylen Brown.
Okay. The Kings.
The Kings need
everything.
That's not a center.
Really, and they need stability.
And they need a guy. They need a positive guy. And I don't say that about most teams, but this team has had a horrible chemistry forever.
They would love to have Chris Dunn fall here.
They would love that with Rondo Gaunt most likely leaving, and Darren Collison was arrested, I think, a couple days ago.
They would love for Chris
Dunn. Dunn's not
falling. He's not going to fall.
So they need to trade Ben McLemore, because although I thought he was a really good pick for them a couple years ago, it hasn't worked out. They try again at the two guard. They go for the happy-go-lucky, the best scorer in college basketball last year. They go Buddy Hield.
I'm with you. I have nothing to say other than that. They need stability, and they get it with Hield. So here we are with the Raptors, which should be the Knicks pick, mind you. And I will continue to scowl over that. The Raptors are in an interesting situation because they don't know if they're going to sign DeMar DeRozan, who's their top scorer.
And it's an interesting call because, again, he's probably not worth what he's going to sign for. He's going to get the max. And
yeah,
he's a great athlete, a good scorer, and not that much else.
Yeah. So I think they're going to take a guy who is solid. I think they need a four. I think they're going to take a guy that's solid and a guy that really impressed me. It pressed me in the NCAA tournament. Granted, he played against the Cuse, so I saw him. I love Sabonis. I think he goes here. I think he is he's a lunch pail guy, and I think he's perfect for this team, especially if they re-sign DeRozan. So I'm taking Sabonis.
It's funny. Sabonis is one of the two choices I was looking at, and now I have him falling down pretty far after this.
Well, I think he either goes here or he's going to 17.
We'll get to 17 in 8 picks. I do have him going power forward. I have him going a little bit more upside.
Ellison.
Ellison, yeah. From Marquette. Can a good scorer, tall guy, can kind of, if Biombo leaves, can kind of switch between the 4-5. I think he's a 6'10", 6'11". So Henry Ellison from Marquette at number 9.
Buckeyes.
The Bucks, who are – ooh, hold on a second. There we go.
Who have a good core with Monroe and Jabari Parker. Now the question is, does Jason Kidd, who just signed another three-year extension, live with Michael Carter-Williams? Or does he go for a point guard, or does he look for a center where he can move Parker to the three and Monroe to the four?
That's where I have him going.
As do I.
They're going. It's harder. It's always harder to get a big man. And again, it's not as much of a big man league anymore, but it's always more difficult to get a big man. I'm going from the Austrian center from Utah, Jacob Poeltl.
As am I, for the exact same reason. Okay, we're down to the Magic. The Magic don't need a lot. They are a very young team. I like their team. They can go for the hit, for the swing and the miss at this point. They have a lot of younger players, but the one thing that they do need is shooting. And they need shooting it from a big guy. So I have them taking a shot at Scal Labrisi.
The Haitian sensation. Unfortunately, so do I. Because he was so I don't like it when we pick – when we have a couple picks in common. It makes sense. And Vogel is a very good coach, and he should fit well with this, with him. You know, he can shoot and he can block shots, but he was so bad at Kentucky. I do wonder how that's going to play out. So now it starts to get interesting because we're at the end of the lottery, and we're looking at the Utah Jazz.
As we always are at the
end
of the lottery,
because they seem to kind of always fall in the same place. If you look at the Jazz, they're set at center, they're set at the four, they're set at the three. They have a lot of talent at the one and two between Rodney Hood and Gordon Haywood and Alec Burks.
Dante Exum, who's coming
if
back from the ACL.
Which is why I was thinking about going point guard, but I decided not to. I think if Exum comes back, I don't think that's what they need. They still have Trey Burke as their backup PG. I was looking at DeJounte Murray from Washington. They went scoring. And they went for another shooter that goes along with Hayward. I went for the guy from Turkey. And I can't really pronounce his name very well. But it's Furkan Korkmaz.
Furkan Korkmaz, very nice. Furkan Korkmaz.
Plus he's 18 and they can store him a couple of years and we can see where he is in a year or two down the road.
Okay, I like your strategy. I just don't like your pick. I think they go for Garden. I think they protect themselves against Dante Exum. And I think they look to trade to Trey Burks. I like their pick of Rodney Hood, but I think they're going to play him a little bit more at the three. So I have DeJounte Murray. I think that out of Washington. A good player. Just a good, solid player. There aren't many point guards in this draft. This is a non-point guard draft. Next year's draft is going to be stacked with point guards. So I think this is where they go with Murray.
I originally had him there. I thought about it. Actually, I didn't have him there. I had him go to the Bulls originally. All right, so your pick with the Suns.
So the Suns, I'm taking Ellerson. I think this is where the slide ends for him. They are going with Chris first and Ellerson second. Two guys that could potentially play the four. Although I really think that Chris, if he's as athletic as everybody is making him out to believe, and if he has the upside that everybody believes in him, he can play the three. And if he can play the three, they have a very, very tall lineup with him and Ellerson and then Alex Len, your boy.
Jesus.
6'10", 6'11", 7 feet.
Yeah, I don't have that. Yeah, I don't see that.
Well, you don't see that because Ellerson's gone, so it doesn't matter to you.
I find it hard to go power forward, power forward. Phoenix again needs a little bit of everything. They have talent everywhere. But they have no great talent anywhere. And I'm going with the scorer. I'm going with the second international player. I'm going with Tipsy, and I'm going to mispronounce the last name because I always do. Ayuwabu from France.
This would be the third international player because Bender makes number one.
I forgot about Bender. And actually, it's the fourth because Jamal Murray is from Canada and Ben Simmons is from Australia. So actually, it's like the number five.
Are you taking Ubaselli? Gershon Ubaselli?
No.
The forward from France?
Am I pronouncing the name completely wrong?
How do you spell his last name? Are you looking at Y-A?
Damn, now I got to find. Now, did I pull the wrong guy up?
Although that's a forward, so I don't know what you're looking at here. I'm looking at guys from France. I don't see any, but I only see one guy from France. Yep, one guy from France. Maybe you're missing the guy.
No.
Or maybe you're talking about a different... Different country.
That is certainly
true.
Are you
talking about Hernan Gomez?
No, Hernan Gomez was later in the first round.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Then this will be either... I'll either be brilliant or a dope. I know which one I probably will end up as. But let me see here. Hold on.
This is actually fantastic. You definitely know something that no scout does. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like Albert Brooks in The Scout.
Oh, man. Where the hell is this guy? Timothy Luwawu from Serbia.
From Serbia? Ladies and gentlemen, not only the wrong country, but the wrong continent.
How is France and Serbia the wrong continent?
Serbia's in the isn't Serbia considered Asia?
Who are you, Marissa? Who are you, Marissa? My goodness. Yes. Sean, with your two master's
degrees.
I'm
so confused. I don't know who this guy is. I'm still looking for him, and I can't find him. Are you talking about Luwawu?
Yes.
Oh, he is from France.
Thank you.
Timothy Luwawu from France, 6'7", weighs 195 pounds.
I didn't say he was going to be LeBron James tomorrow. He's a little skinny.
A little skinny. He weighs almost as much as I do.
He weighs a lot less than I do. Well, I'm almost a fat ass, so that doesn't really matter. Wow.
Okay. The Bulls. Go for the Bulls.
Well, who's
go
your
Bulls.
Phoenix pick? Remind me. It's been like a
I picked out.
Ellinson.
Ellinson for the Phoenix. So we're on the Bulls.
Okay. The Bulls are in a really strange position. They need... Yes, I realize we have 22 minutes. Is there that much you want to talk about other than the draft?
No, but we're only on pick 14.
Okay, we've done this in 10 minutes. We're fine.
Okay,
they need a center because Noah's going to probably try and leave. The Knicks are trying to trade for Derrick Rose, which I actually don't mind, contingent on what they're giving up. I think they go point guard. And I see Sean just – another head just popped out of his body on that one. So I have him going from the point guard from Vandy, Wade Baldwin the fourth.
My head popped out because you said they need a center, then all of a sudden they need a point guard. They're trading Rose, so let's pick a point guard when you went from a center to a point guard.
I'm just saying some of the things that they need. They need a lot of things.
Okay, so seeing that they need a center, I am taking Deontay Davis from Michigan State.
You sure he's not from France or Serbia?
Definitely not from France. Definitely not from France. Okay, the Nuggets, who I think go again, I have Bender for them in the first round. I think they go a little bit off the beaten path again and try and hide somebody in Turkey, where I have Kormaz, who we already picked.
I already picked.
Forkin Kormaz goes to the Nuggets. I know you already picked it.
Yes, but somebody's gonna say that name wrong. That first name wrong, and that's just going to go really badly.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. And on probably
everywhere
else. I agree that they're going to take someone to hide, for lack of a better term. They have a good center in Josic. I think they go Ante Zizic from Croatia. He's from Croatia. You can't find him, can you?
Oh, Zizek. Yeah. Well, there are two guys from Croatia, so that was the other guy. Okay, Zizek. Okay, Celtics.
I think the Celtics would trade this pick if they could. I think this, again, kind of in regards to what we talked about before, they're desperate for a superstar, be it Kevin Love, Kevin Durant, whoever. If they trade the Nets, the pick the Nets next year, or even they trade their pick three here, they're a superstar away from being probably the second best team in the East. Or contingent on who they get, potentially a challenge to Cleveland. Since they don't have that, they go for best player. They go for a power forward. Since I had them going for a guard before, I have them going for Devontae Davis from Michigan State.
I think they want to take Denzel Valentine here. I just don't think they can with his knees.
Dropped out of my first round because of his
knees. Yeah, so I have Zizek going here as a center. You can never have too many big men. And I think they want to hide somebody overseas, and I think this is the guy that they hide. So you have Davis, I have Zizek. Okay.
The grizzle to you.
Okay, the grizzle to me. And for the grizzle, I do love the grizzle. I have the grizzle taking my boy, Malachi Richardson, because they need some scoring on that team. And with Tony Allen as the only two guard on that team and Michael Conley potentially leaving, they need some masterful scoring on that team, and I think this is the guy. So Malachi goes here.
The Grizzlies pretty much need everything other than a center, contingent on whether Mike Conley comes back or not. Richardson makes sense. I have him going a little bit later in the round. With Zach Randolph really kind of finally, after a long, successful career going on, I have his replacement here. I think they go with, as you said, kind of this guy who fits that blue-collar, lunch pail mentality. I have him going with Sabonis.
Okay.
So next,
Nuggets.
Next pick is the Pistons.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that up. Yep. Okay.
And Detroit's in an interesting position. They are very solid at the one. They're solid at the five. They got Tobias Harris. They have Marcus Morris. I have them going for best player available, and or best talent available. And it may be a bit of a reach, but I have them going for the guy who actually kind of found the out in regards to playing in college, Tom Maker. I know that hand reaction, which means that pretty much Sean is taking him because I'm getting the FU from Sean.
Yeah, I have Thon Maker here. I really thought that I was going to slip one by Seth here. Obviously not. So here we are with Thon Maker, also with the Pistons. I think if he maxes his ability, playing him next to Andre Drummond will make for some very interesting foul shooting.
Yeah, that was
in addition to some very interesting play, because they're both very athletic players. Maker needs to put on about 30 pounds. But other than that, I think he's their guy. Okay, so the Nuggets, who I have taking two international guys so far, will I make that a third?
No.
Will I make it a third? You sure about that?
I don't think so.
Will I make it a third? I will not be making it a third. No, actually, I will. I'm sorry, I will. Juan Hernan Gomez makes it here, the forward out of Spain. I'm going in all international draft because, unlike most teams, they don't need much, and they have a full roster. So I think they can hide maybe Gomez and Hernan Gomez back in Spain and in Serbia, I believe. No, Gomez is in Turkey. And so I got Hernan Gomez going here.
I go – see, there's the side. I go in a different direction. I actually think they pick dun-dun-dun, domestic. So, you picked Mude last week at number – last year at number seven, who was wildly inconsistent. I think you go for probably the best point guard.
Murray.
No. The best point guard in college basketball last year.
Ellis?
Yeah,
oh, not
Ulis.
Ulis.
Yeah,
Ulis.
I think they go for Ulis.
Undersized point guard compared to Moody.
A 6'6 point guard. It's a comparison. It's a compliment.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, they could play Moutet off the ball, too, and use Harris as a sixth man if they play Ulis as the point.
Yeah.
He's very much reminiscent of Ty Lawson.
Yeah. Hopefully without the negatives of, Ty
Lawson.
And
hopefully with the shooting of Ty Lawson, because Ty Lawson could shoot, and Ulis, not really.
But
okay.
It's much more definitive point guard.
Agreed. So here we are with the Pacers, who I think need a point guard, because I think they could play George Hill off the ball, and I have them taking Baldwin here, and you will probably have them taking Murray here.
I do.
Yeah.
With Monte Ellis kind of starting to get a bit old after a nice, long career, and George Hill still living off the I got traded for the right to Kawhi Leonard. Good job, Indiana. They do need a guard. They need some guard play to help with Paul George, who's now fully recovered. I think they go for DeJon Murray.
Okay. You're up with the Hawks, who they could go any one of a number of ways, depending on if they re-sign Al Horford.
Yeah. My thought process with the Hawks is, what was the big difference to you from last year with the Hawks?
The big difference?
From 14-15 to 15-16.
They were able to pass better? I mean...
Well, I think it was they lost DeAndre Carroll going to Toronto. Good defender.
Yeah, Damari Carroll.
Damari Carroll, excuse me. Good three-point shooter, great defender.
3-and-D guy.
Yeah,
3-and-D
guy. I think that's the direction they go. They go for a really underrated player because he played at St. Joe's. I am going for DeAndre Bembry, excuse me.
Okay. Where will this work? Come on. To you, Bembry. Okay. We're at pick 21, and we got 13 minutes to go. I think they go as a backup to Horford. I think they need to see whether they – because besides Horford, they have no size on that team. Absolutely no size. So I think they go Zubac, Ivica Zubac, out of Bosnia, 19 years old. If they're patient, they have to be patient. And if Horford stays, they can afford to be that. Will they give Horford the max? I think they will for 4 years. So
yeah, I think they're kind of hesitant on the fifth year.
Agreed. Okay. So now the Hornets – who, with their first pick in the draft, could they take Denzel Valentine here? I think they could.
Did you say Denzel Washington will not be eligible for this draft?
I said Denzel Valentine.
You said Washington. Pretty much you started with Washington.
Good.
Yeah. This ain't training day.
I think they could take Denzel Valentine. I think they could take Malik Beasley. I think they could take Chick Diablo.
Diablo.
I think they take Valentine. Look, I know that his knees are a problem. I get that. But this is Michael Jordan we're talking about. Not exactly the greatest and astute drafter of all time. I think he takes Valentine.
So because of the ineptitude of their owner, they're going to take the best player in college basketball last year?
With bad knees.
With bad knees. No, don't argue. I have the same thing. I have Valentine going as well. he'll be a good complement to Kid Gilchrist, who went number two, and a great defensive player who just has never been able to really develop much of an offensive game. The Celtics for the 57th time. And again, I have them going over, pretty much drafting and pushing a guy overseas. Similar to Sean with the Hawks, I have Zubac going to Boston.
Okay, so the Celtics, I have Zizek, who I think will go overseas. I have Jaylen Brown. You have Jamal Murray. So I think they keep this pick, and I take Diallo. I think they can go for value here, and they try and hope that he recognizes the talent that he had going into Kansas. Look,
he did not show one iota.
He showed nothing.
He showed nothing at Kansas.
Showed nothing at Kansas, but half the time you don't need to show talent in order to be drafted. We have seen that numerous times.
We have seen that time and time and sadly time again. Speaking of a team with no talent, We're up to the Sixers.
Again.
And the Sixers kind of need everybody. There's no real question about it. Question is, you know, where do you go? They need athleticism. They've gone big man, it seems, over the years. They need a score.
My boy.
Nope, not your boy. Not going Malachi. Malachi. We're going for Malik. Not quite the same. We're going Malik Beasley, the shooting guard from Florida State.
I concur. The Clippers, I think, get DeAndre Bembry. I think this is where he goes.
Actually, I think it's a really good fit for him.
Not a great shooter, but a good, solid player, a junior, but an older junior. I think he gets the pick here, and I think the Clippers get themselves a great pick.
Yeah, that pick makes a lot of sense. Look, for years, you look at a team, they're four of their five in the lineup have been set forever. They've never had a three that they've been happy with. And I don't think they're going in this direction because I think he's gone. I think they go, since there is no three to take on my board, they go in the other direction. They go with the backup, Chris Paul, who's just starting to get a little bit long in the tooth. I have him going to Demetrius Jackson from Notre Dame. Now I'm back to the 76ers again because, well, they're the 76ers. And there's so many ways we can go with this. I have him just going, well, I need athleticism. And I'm going Torian Prince, from Baylor.
Okay, I'm going to go Patrick McCaw from UNLV.
McCaw!
He defends multiple positions. He's a good shooter. Maybe not the best ball handler, but he can. He's a sophomore guard. And look, again, they just are stockpiling talent. And granted, I think that they would love to push one of them across overseas, Brian Colangelo, now on his new mantra with Sam Hinkie gone. But I think they take McCaw. Okay, the Raptors, who have no problem pushing people overseas, and I think they do it here because they have too much talent on that team to begin with. Yabusele from France.
My guy? So who the hell is a Yabusele?
Yabusele. He's a 19-year-old forward. Yabusele.
Steven Yabusele?
Actually, it's Gershon.
Yeah,
Yabusele.
I was like, yeah.
Yabusele. Okay, who are you having the Raptors take?
The man I was hoping was not going to leave school this year. Hoping to bring us my beloved Terps to a Final Four.
Diamond Stone!
Not a bad player. Not a bad place for him to go. They need a power forward. And again, whether it's who they took, we had him taking earlier.
McCaw!
I had him going with Ellison. He just wanted to say McCaw. I actually think it makes sense with Biombo probably leaving. And you have Valasunas at the five. There is a space for that 4-5 combo. And, you know, Stone is raw, but he has a lot of talent. So now, oh, for the love of God. So now we're up to the Suns at 28. And this is where I have Sean's favorite player in this draft, Malachi. Can I call him Malachi?
No, Malachi.
I can't. They need scoring. Archie Goodwin really hasn't done the job. And they need kind of that 2-3 swing behind either that kind of Brandon Knight, Eric Bledsoe, and behind those guys and whoever's playing the three. I'm forgetting a piece of P.J. Tucker. I forget off the top of my head, but I have him going from Malachi Richardson from Syracuse.
What's funny is I have the Suns taking the guy that Seth had the Suns taking, except he had him taking at 13, and I got him taking him at 28. Luau.
Luau.
My God! we got two more picks. The Spurs, in typical Spur fashion, take a senior point guard in Demetrius Jackson because that's typical Spurs fashion right there. They take a guy that's very smart and a good player. He may not be a superstar, but he's a steady player. Not McCaw, but Demetrius Jackson.
And I have him going kind of in an opposite direction. I have him just going for talent in this one. And a guy that you really have no feel for whatsoever. And we mentioned him earlier. He went to the Celtics under with Sean at 24. I have him going with Chet Diallo.
23,
my bad.
Okay.
So,
and the final pick. No, actually, there's two picks.
No, that's the final pick. This is the final pick.
Do the Cavs not have a pick this year?
That seems strange. Did we miss one?
No, the Cavs don't have a pick. They traded it to Phoenix.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
So,
to 28.
What do the Warriors need? Absolutely nothing. But they still have to take a pick. And Festus Ezeli is going to leave. Because somebody's going to pay him like $12 million to be a 1-for-6 center, shooting 1-for-6 from the floor. Bogut, although he's not old, he's starting to feel old. I think they go big. I think they go Damon Jones from Vandy.
Okay. I'm agreeing with you. I think they go big. I'm agreeing with you. They need a big. So I'm taking the Chinese center, Zhao Qi. It was between him and Diamond Stone. And truth be told, I like Diamond Stone in this spot. I like Zhao Qi. And also to the point that Golden State won't put up with the crap that Diamond Stone does. He can't rebound, so what do they need him for? And they have Kevin Looney coming back after hip surgery. I think they have enough. I think they take a shot. Look, this is San Francisco, where you have a huge Chinese population. And I think this is a perfect pick for them, especially in marketing. My God, marketing, this will go ridiculousness. Zhao Qi for the win, for the Golden State, well, maybe for the loss for the Golden State Warriors, but still for the win. So, with that, we have concluded our 30-pick draft. With that, we will now pick the first pick in the NHL draft, Austin Matthews.
That's all the only guy I know.
Now we're done. Now we're done. That's all you got. Okay. Final 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Most interesting news that really hasn't been discussed. Looks like the UFC is going to be sold, or was sold actually today, for $4.2 billion. So I want to congratulate the Faridas and Dana White. Hopefully this means that it's now run a little bit more professionally, because the last year or two has been a PR disaster for the UFC, although they've done extraordinarily well. And for someone who I believe purchased the UFC for about $2 million, give or take, in 2001, not a bad return on investment. So congrats to them.
Okay. Shame on the NBA and shame on Adam Silver. You have Bill Russell standing on that podium last night, and you ignore him.
To present the Bill Russell Award.
Now, shame on Dan Gilbert as well.
Oh.
So Doris Burke asked him a question, which everybody in the world wants the answer to this question. So you wrote the letter, and now here you are. And Dan Gilbert,
I didn't hear what you said, but...
But thank you very much to all the fans of Cleveland. What a crock of crap. That was the one question I wanted to hear the answer to the entire night. Now, shame on Dan Gilbert for that. Congratulations to Dan Gilbert for being able to put his head between his legs and take it for apologizing, getting LeBron back, and winning a championship. So congratulations to Dan Gilbert and the rest of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And congratulations to the city of Cleveland. Man, I've gone 30 years without a championship. If I go another 20, Seth's going to have to bury me. So congratulations to the city of Cleveland.
Congrats to Dave White, Paul Miyake, Alex Miller, all my boys out in Cleveland. Cleveland still kind of rocks, I guess. It should be a fun parade on Wednesday.
It sucks, too.
Good luck. Yeah. Good luck with the U.S. against Argentina tomorrow night. Mexico, nice performance, losing 7-0 to Chile in the Copa. For Sean Palmer, this is Seth Kamers on the Seth and Sean Sports Radio. Have a good night.
Cheers to that.